You are listening to the Grease Man Show. Please turn off all vibrating electrical devices and return your pants to their full upright position.
Yes.
I took extra care in getting ready as I slid into my skin-tight satin pants. I applied my English leather liberally from head to toe. Yes, even there. I finally ran into a woman. I finally talked her into it. She said, "You know, I've heard about you and all your experiences. I'm afraid of becoming ridden with crustacea." I said, "Don't worry about crustacea, darling. I done give them the day off. I don't need insurance. Everybody needs insurance. That's just a fact of life. We are an insured society. You never know when you're going to get sued, blued, and tattooed. So you got to go to M&M Insurance, and they'll get you squared away for as little as $20 down for basic state-required auto insurance. So don't worry about it."
It was very interesting.
Did you see my lapping lips?
Yes.
Did you like them?
Mm-hmm.
Did you fantasize about them?
Well, I wanted to see the rest of it.
You wanted to see all of me?
Yes, just at that monkey seat, I couldn't see anything. It's your white socks and black shoes.
Uh-huh. Well, are you good looking?
Very.
Really?
Very.
Well, why don't you come down? Let me see you.
I have to go to work.
Oh, well, can't you show up a little late? Just swing by the Big Ape and say a quick hello. I ain't going to keep you long.
I have no car.
Well, you walk to work?
No, I take the bus.
Oh, unsavory. The Congolese Express?
Gets me there on time.
I know. It's a great service, and we're proud of it here in Jacksonville. We encourage everybody to leave the car at home and take the bus. I think that covered me against a lawsuit. I hope so. That's all I need.
What were you doing with the salad dressing on TV? I didn't hear what you were saying.
Well, I manufactured...
They were filming you, and you were going around in that ape suit with salad dressing.
Yeah.
Some other stuff.
Well, the salad dressing I made. Did you notice what kind it was? It was creamy Italian. would you like some? It goes great with chopped anchovies and chives.
Oh, really?
Yes. You think you can have it on your salad?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
I'm an Italian at heart anyway.
Really? Would you think you'd like to watch me manufacture some?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Manufacture some.
Huh? Right now?
Yeah, right now.
All right. Okay. Let me see. I got my little bucket here. All right.
You got a bucket?
I need a bucket to hold it. Let me get my copy of National Geographic. Okay. Oh, there they are. Hey, Bandy. Huh? Okay.
I filled the bucket already.
Uh-huh.
You don't get it pretty soon, I'm going to tell you how it was.
Oh, God. Look.
It's 8:30 at Jacksonville's Big Eight.
And you there, carry my bag. And you like some breaking cattle. And an occasional nag. That's great. That's Escape Rupert Holmes. Hello. Is that you, Captain?
It sure is.
Oh.
I'm out of town, and they're telling me all about the Grease Man.
And are you believing what they're saying?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to hear one of your stories.
Really?
I love it.
Oh, God. Well, the price is pretty stiff. You think you could come by and give me some orders?
Oh, I wish I could.
When I was in the service, we didn't have too many lady captains, but nowadays you got tons of them. Maybe you come by and command me. Make me serve you. And when you see a speck of dirt on my boots, I want you to slap me across the buttocks repeatedly, again and again. Say, "Soldier, you're a disgrace to the uniform," and humble me. And
I think I believe every word they've told me.
Would you do that for me?
Okay,
would you dominate me? Oh, God. In your uniform? And then make me serve you? Say, "All right, soldier, perform your functions as a man, now!" Huh?
Oh.
Would you do that?
Oh.
Come on. Are you married?
Am I?
Hell.
Sorry.
Oh, hell. Well, tell him it was in the line of duty. Right now, I have the Italian Stallion's mother. That's right, Tony Romano, the man who has made Jacksonville nightlife so sparkly and so effervescent. I've got his mama on the line. How about the gaga? Hello, Mrs. Italian Stallion.
Good morning, Mr. Greaseman, and how are you?
Good. Wow, is this the Italian Stallion's mother?
Well, if you want to call him that.
Holy.
I've called him a few names myself.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm getting a reading on the Yankometer. Where are you from?
We live in Deland. We've been here about 11 years.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Why, Detective, just a slight hint of New York ease.
Really?
Yes. Could your roots go back to the Bronx, the Grand Concourse? I got all of it.
No. No, we come from the island.
The island? Oh, Long Island.
Yes.
Where? Yaphang, Patchard, Oakdale.
Yes. No, not that far around. Not that far out from Syosset.
Syosset?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Near the airport.
Yes. Yeah. How are you?
Huh? I'm fine. How are you?
We're fine.
Are you fine?
We're going back to Deland's afternoon.
You're going to the beaches and checking out the water.
You what?
You're checking out the water at the beaches?
No.
I just love the way you talk. I can listen to that all day long.
We managed to get you once in a while down there in Deland.
In Deland? We come in clear?
Yes.
Loud and clear?
Yes, if the weather is good.
Ah.
You know, if we have a real foggy morning, well, or if you have bad fog up here, we don't get you.
But we don't get nothing.
We managed to catch you once in a while.
Yeah, well, I'll goose the juice, darling, and send 50,000 big ones your way. You probably read in the paper, there are a few people that are trying to decide what you should listen to in the morning. Yeah, it's not enough to follow their own wishes and their own conscience. They decided that, well, let's make everybody follow our wishes and our conscience. So, you know, they've organized a few people to write some letters against me. So in order to keep it fair, right, and issue fair play, we ought to have a few letters for me, right? This is a serious thing, so I wonder if I could trouble you to write a couple of them. Well, write one to the FCC, Washington, D.C. That's all the address you need. Just write Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C., and write another to Mrs. Kaplan, yeah, the lady that signs my check. Mrs. Kaplan here at the Big Ape, and one at the FCC, and just tell them that if you want Uncle Greasy to linger and continue in the same delicious vein, then do so, okay? Unless you want somebody else to decide what you should listen to, in which case, you know, we'll all salute the commie flag and live happily ever after. It's up to you, okay? Some people say that I'm perverted. I'm not perverted, I'm earthy! I'm earthy! I am a man! A law man! Let us wonder for a moment, shall we? One fanciful moment. What it must be like to strap on a gun, pin on a badge, and become a law man! Ah! Well, today, they got you on riot control duty. Yeah, there's a bunch of Iranian ragheads standing in front of City Hall with big old signs that say Khomeini. And they're marching around saying, pray for my people. Oh, Khomeini, Khomeini, Khomeini. And you say, in hell, the bile wells up in your stomach as you look at the maggots. And it's your job to keep the peace. So you got police lines drawn up all around them. And they're chanting and marching, shouting anti-American slogans. And you're getting madder and madder. And your men are getting madder and madder. When suddenly in the distance you see a bunch of construction workers carrying axe handles and looking mean, heading for the Iranians. So you turn to your men and you say, all right, men, time for a coffee break. And your men say, but Sarge, they told us. And you say, time for a coffee break now. And you all get in your cars and you leave. You're driving around the corner as you hear the thunk of wood against skull as the construction workers wade into them. But you say, what the hell, rescue needed a little practice on working on contusions and abrasions, so what the hey? You got better things to do than look after a bunch of maggots. You got to go to the high school. Today's your day to help out with the Officer Smiley program. You got to get up in front of a classroom of kids and tell them how neat it is to be the police. But there's one little maggoty, bubblegum-breath kid that keeps saying things like, Officer, my father says police have a general fascist mentality. They like to handle things with guns and fists rather than by proper law technique. And you try to brush the kid off. He says, Officer, hey, my father says most police are of middle or lower middle intelligence. He keeps at you until finally you just say, the hell with Officer Smiley. You grab the little maggot, you hang him upside down out the window until he fouls himself. Screaming, the other kids are screaming. The teacher looks at you in horror as you shake him until the bubblegum and jackknives and all the little crap he's got in his pocket goes falling out the window. And then you throw the maggoty soiled kid back in his seat and storm out the room. But before you do, you turn to his teacher sneeringly and say, wipe him.
Jacksonville City Councilmen are trying to work out just what constitutes the term double taxation. That's the top story of the hour from WAPE Jacksonville.
Brought to you by the Imported Auto Center.
Thank you, Uncle Greasy.
That's okay.
This is Carol Hissey with 69 Big 8 News at 8:30.
Did you hear it?
Yes, sir.
Did you like it?
Yeah, we all kind of got misty-eyed.
Yeah.
Well,
right, isn't it, huh?
Well, yes, sir. What inspired it?
Well, Sonny Throckmorton, who wrote the song, came up to Charlie Fash, who's with Mercury Records, and he played the song, and Sonny is also a performer. He wanted to do it, and Charlie Fash says, "You're too young to do it. You're 40 years old." He says, "Who can we get to do it?" And Charlie Fash says, "Only one guy, George Burns."
I'll be darned.
He got me to do it, and I never sang a country song in my life before, and I love that kind of music now.
Well, you know, they're making a big deal out of the young ladies you run with, and everybody knows that you're involved with the young. Have you got a current flame by your side?
The problem was when I was look, let me tell you something. I liked young girls when I was 18. If I liked them then, why shouldn't I like them now?
That's right. You can appreciate them even better, huh?
Of course.
Of course, you know, do you just totally steer clear of women your own age?
No. Oh, I'd go out with women my age, but there are no women my age.
That's great. Where are we talking to? Are you home now, poolside?
I'm from Beverly Hills, California.
That's great. I saw a picture in People magazine of you sitting by your pool. Is that where you're calling from?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my right outside the pool.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. You've got, I'm sure, one of the young ones by your side.
Well, not exactly. She won't show up until 3:30.
What? Oh, great. Well,
at that 4 o'clock, another one will show up. All I do is I just sing to them.
You aren't involved?
Come every half hour, I sing a song to them.
And they go?
And I go up and take a rest, and my piano player takes them home.
I see.
I've outlived 4 of my piano players.
I'll be darned. There is no the smacking of lips?
Oh, no.
No hot embraces?
No. Just hot soup.
Hot soup? That's great. Let me see. There was one thing I wanted to run by you here. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. The Big Ape is much like Las Vegas in that we have a free hand to entertain as we see fit, even should it approach the slightly risque. And I was wondering, I've heard you and laughed and shrieked with delight with you on the Carson Show and many of the nighttime entertainment scenes, but on the Big Ape, we can go a step farther. Is there any joke that you've thought about maybe letting Johnny have, but you figured, well, the censors will probably beep it and ruin it? Well, here you...
Are you talking about a risque joke?
Let me have one.
Joke? I'll give you one joke.
Yes, sir.
I don't tell jokes. I usually do anecdotes, but somebody told me this joke, and I think it's funny.
All right.
As a man 80 years old, and he married a girl 20, and he wanted to make this marriage work. So he went to a psychologist, and then he asked this psychologist to do something. He says, "I want this marriage to work. I'm 80 and she's 20, but I want it to work. I really do. We both love each other." So he says, "Well, I'll tell you what to do. If you want it to work, why don't you get a boarder to move in with you?" He says, "Okay." And 3 months later, he came back to the psychologist and said that, "By the way, it works." He says, "My wife is pregnant." He says, "What about the boarder?" He says, "The boarder is pregnant, too."
No. Oh, God. Okay. Delicious. Well, of course, we could even go a step farther.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, that's great.
As dirty as I get.
Yeah. Well, that's great. George, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your time.
Keep playing the record.
Yes, sir. We're going to let it rip right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Burns, coming out with a platter. I wonder if it'll be a hit. I don't know. Only time will tell. Right now on Billboard Top 100. Oh, gee. I didn't get that joke. He told. Finally explained it to me in vivid detail. It's 23 minutes after 7. This is Uncle Greasy celebrating the end of another stinking week. Let's pick up the phone and see if we get some reaction to talking to old George. Hello? It's George Burns interview there?
That's pretty interesting there.
Hey, George Burns, huh?
Hey, I got one question for you, Grease.
Yeah?
You mean to tell me that he sits at poolside at 20 after 4 in the morning?
That's right.
Come on, Grease.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What?
Well, they must have some wild times out there in that California side.
Yeah, well, that's right. It would be 20 after 4 in California.
It's okay. It don't matter as long as it's...
I feel like such a fool.
Yeah, dear.
I can't believe you called me this. What are you doing out from under the covers?
Come on, I'm just standing here listening to you.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you loving me?
Uh-huh.
Are you needing me?
Uh-huh.
Are you wanting me?
Oh, yeah.
You wish I were there to cuddle you?
Uh-huh.
Good.
How you doing?
Good, 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 good.
Good.
You can have a little Farina.
A what?
A little Farina.
Yeah.
A little Farina, a little buckwheat.
Yeah.
Little milk in a saucer. Little glass of juice.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too, little cutie pie. I love cuteness. She finally died and they had her laid out. Nobody cried at the casket. They just pinched her cheeks. The window there, I was strapped on and it was windy. It was one of them cold days, about 35 degrees, and I mean my hands were cracking. Every time I moved, I was frozen stiff. And I'm huddled up in the window, washing it with my little squeegee. And I look inside, and there's a secretary kind of smirking at me. Yeah, the secretary's sitting there at her desk, filing her nails, you know, looking out at me, seeing me freezing there, hanging by my leather straps, and she's giggling. Finally, get this now, finally, she gets a piece of paper, writes on it, it's 78 degrees in here, and holds it up to the window. So I reached in my pocket, and with a trembling, frozen, cold hand, I grabbed my pad and my pencil, and I wrote her a note and stuck it on the window that said, it's $20 an hour out here. Yeah! It's 20 minutes before 9. Here's the old lock. Oh, let's get room. No, we done got romance. Let's boogie down, shall we? Shall we do something just lively? Something full of life and a spice of the Occidental? No, nothing with insurance in it. I mean, you know, like foreign.
I don't got a headache.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, Hoyle Dempsey's a whimpering.
I've been out drunk 2 nights in a row now.
Oh, naughty boy.
I ain't bragging now. Just fat, you know.
I understand. Overindulgence is your forte.
Out last night.
Huh?
Me and Bubba were out last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, it happened 2 nights ago when I walked in a bar with 2 bananas shoved in my ears.
What, a banana in each ear?
A banana in each, that's what I said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A banana in each ear, right?
Yeah.
Well, I sat down, and there was a few snickers in the back of the room, but the barkeep really didn't pay no attention. You know, I guess he's used to a little foolery, you know,
uh-huh.
As long as you ain't throwing nobody across the room or nothing.
They don't mind, no.
That's it.
You want to sit there with bananas in your ears, I guess it's all right, right?
As long as you pay your bill, I guess it don't matter if you want to sit there with bananas in your ear.
Uh-huh.
So I sat there for about 4 hours like that.
Uh-huh.
So last night I went in there again with cherries in my ear.
This time you had a cherry in each ear.
What you call them, maraschino cherries?
A couple of maraschinis,
yeah. Yeah, you seen them.
Uh-huh.
The sweet kind with the little stems on them.
And did you have them stem out?
Right.
It is.
How'd you know?
I just guessed it.
So the bartender says, all right, I demand an explanation. What are you doing with cherries in your ear? I said they ran out of bananas.
Oh, jeez.
But I'm a shoe fetishist. I love women's shoes. I love to hold them. I love to watch them on my big, grotesque feet. I love to sniff them. That's why I love Payless shoes. You see, life ain't easy for a shoe fetishist. You gotta constantly be going to different shoe stores or else they get suspicious when you're always buying ladies' shoes. Fortunately, Payless Shoes has so many locations. I mean, they're not only in Jacksonville, they're all over the place. I mean, no matter what godforsaken town you live in, check your phone book. There's probably a Payless Shoes there. And the prices are especially handy for a shoe fetishist because since I go through vast amounts of ladies' shoes, I need low prices, and Payless Shoes, frankly, has the lowest prices you're ever going to find, so it leaves me extra money for panties and garters. Payless Shoes, locations throughout Northeast Florida.
The Jerk.
My story?
Steve Martin, starring in his first movie.
I was born a poor black child.
It may be the funniest movie you'll ever see.
Waiter! There are snails on her plate. Now take them away and bring me those melted cheese sandwich appetizers you talked me out of.
The Jerk, the first Steve Martin movie. A rags-to-riches-to-rags story. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parents.
Starts Friday at the Town & Country, Edgewood and Neptune 3 Theaters.
Oh, yes. That's what we need after a brutal attack. After a brutal Demsinian episode. It's 13 minutes before 9.
Here's I ain't done yet,
buddy. Oh, come on.
I got a sad story to tell you about here.
Oh, geez. To subject us to, you mean?
Over the Thanksgiving holidays.
Mm.
Now, you think it's going to be something that I'm going to cut up with, but I ain't. It's serious about this now.
All right.
The Thanksgiving holidays,
mm-hmm.
I was keeping my brother's cat.
Mm-hmm.
He had one of them, what you call, Siamese cats.
Mm-hmm.
Expensive booger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Around your $200 range.
Mm-hmm.
Good-looking cat. But still a cat, though. You know how.
I understand.
So, old cat gets out of the house, goes out and gets hit by a car. My brother calls up and gets back in town. He says, "Hoyle had my cat." I said, "It's dead. Got hit by a car." He starts whimpering, kind of like you do, you know.
Yeah.
Whimpering, yep. That reminds me of it.
Mm-hmm.
Says, "Hoyle, you're so cold. You broke it to me in such a cold way."
Mm.
He said, "You could have built up to it. It wouldn't have hurt me so bad." He said, "You hurt me so bad." I said, "What would you have wanted me to say? The cat's dead. It's in the street laying there. A car just hit it." He said, "Oh, first time I called, you could have said, 'The cat's on the roof. I can't get it down.' Okay?"
Mm-hmm.
"The next time he called, he could have said, 'The cat fell off the roof. It's laying there. I'm going to call the veterinarian and get it some help.' Next time I called, you could say, 'It's at the vet's. It looks like it's going to be okay.'"
Mm-hmm.
"Then I'd have called back and say, 'Hoyle, how's the cat?' And you could say, 'Well, it's touch and go. Took a turn for the worse.'"
Mm-hmm.
"Then I'd call back and say, and you could say, 'Hoyle,' I'd say, 'Hoyle, how's the cat?' You'd say, 'Well, it passed away. Looks like we're going to have to bury it.'"
Mm-hmm.
"Then it would have been an easy letdown." He said, "But no, you had to be cold. You had to be cold about it." He said, "By the way, how's Mom?" I said, "She's on the roof. I can't get her down."
But they stayed hot on my tail. The Mexican constabulary was waiting. They took up the chase at the border.
They chased me. I could see them coming and coming and coming. Shooting, yelling, "Gringo! The police! Stop, gringo!"
And still I rode on. I rode on till I came to a little house. I burst through the door. My Winchester at the ready. There were two guys sitting at the table drinking coffee. I said, "Don't move! I'm on the run from the law! Hold it right here! You guys are going to be my ticket out of here!" They said, but. I said, "No but, just shut your face!" And sure enough, the Mexicans surrounded the place. They said, "We got to tell you." I said, "Shut up! This gun does the talking. You shut your face!" And I put the butt of the gun through the window, and I fired three shots. Blah, 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 blah! I said, "I got hostages in here! We're coming out! You guys lift the gun, and I'll kill the hostages!" And they said, "But we got to tell..." I said, "Shut up!" Slowly, I opened the door with the gun. I pushed them two out. I got between them, and I walked to my horse, in between the hostages, when the Mexicans started shooting. Blah, 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 blah! They blew me away! They blew away the two hostages! We're all lying there, and the hostage said, "Hey, my name's Frank James, this is my brother Jesse."
Oh, it's up to Hoyle.
Hoyle's out of the room right now. Can I take a message?
Oh, you do just fine. Talk to you.
I'm getting a reading on the Iranometer. Are you sure you ain't an Iranian?
No, good buddy.
You sure?
No.
You sound like one. Let me... I smell it. Camel dung. You are an Iranian, ain't you?
No, I'm one of Hoyle's friends.
Don't give me Hoyle's friend. You're an Iranian, and you're trying to find out information to tell Khomeini. Well, you ain't gonna get none.
Why?
Why? Yeah. I ain't giving you no information.
Do what?
You have to find it out yourself, Jack.
What do you mean?
Listen, suck sand, huh? Ah! Heads on the left! They're trying to flank us! Lay down cover fire! I'm going in! Ah! Oh, God! Grenade! Yeah!
Oh, I ran out of sound effect. Oh, geez. Just when I was getting going, too.
I know he'll probably abuse me. I know he'll probably say, "Honk it! Get in here! Shine my head, Buck!" I'll say, "Yes, Mr. Hayes. Would you like black polish, or are you still working with oxblood?"
Yeah, it's a story I haven't told too often. About the time Roy McGriff and I both went as a team south of the border to the little Spanish town of Emejagua, nestled deep in La Tierra del Muerte.
The Valley of the Dead.
Roy and I were sitting in a cantina, swapping stories, winking at the little señoritas, when suddenly the thunder of hoofbeats roared outside. And there he was, Juan Quirona de Vega, the most feared bandito in all of Mexico. I said, Roy, there's Juan Quirona de Vega outside. Boy, oh boy, does he look mean. And Roy said, "Oh my God, years ago I ran away with his wife. Hide me. If he sees me, he'll kill me." I said, all right, just be calm. And there was this big old chest, big old trunk. I opened the lid. I said, "There's room for you in here, Roy. Jump inside, and I'll stall him." But sure enough, no sooner did I get the lid down than Juan Quirona de Vega swaggered inside the bar. "Whiskey, and leave the bottle!" And he looked at me. He said, "You're Roy McGriff's friend, eh, gringo?" I said, "No, I don't know Roy McGriff." He said, "You lying pig!" And he slapped me. Whack! He said, "Where is Roy McGriff?" I said, "I ain't talking, Taco Bender." Whack!
he slapped me again. And he took out his knife. He said, for every time you don't tell me, I cut off a finger. Whack, he chopped off my pinky. I said, he said, where is my grip? I said, I don't know, I don't know. Whack, he chopped off another finger. He said, where is the running dog? I said, I don't know where he is. Well, he chopped off the fingers on both of my hands when suddenly the phone rang. Juan Corona de Vega picked it up. He said, it's for you, gringo. And with bloody stumps, I put the phone to my ear, and it was Roy. He said, yeah, there was a trap door in the bottom of this trunk. I'm down here at a bar 3 miles away. I wondered if you wanted me to order you a double bourbon, or are you going to stick with the tequila sunrise?
Oh. Do I work here? Do I get paid to come in and do this?
Well, no.
Well, you damn sure better be glad I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart. Well, late, hell.
Well,
do I look late to you?
Well, I...
Color me here, buddy, and that's lucky for you, because I got a couple of good jokes for you in a few minutes.
All right, well, I'm sorry.
Don't cry about it.
I'm sorry for crying out loud. I'd
be thankful I'm here.
I just didn't expect such hostility. Oh, here he comes.
69 Big 8.
Jane, a delightful little goodie. It's 13 minutes after 9. Here's the old lard belly. A little cold outside. I know she's a little rosy-cheeked this morning, Hoyle.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
I can tell you got a little rosy glow.
Hard getting that old Star Chief cranked up this morning, buddy. I'm telling you.
It was 33 earlier. 33 brutal degrees.
Tell you what, though.
Mm.
It'll run like a bat out of hell when it does get cranked up.
I imagine.
Saw me on the way in this morning.
I imagine.
Over that Buckman Bridge.
Uh-huh.
I tried to sell me that sucker the other day.
What, the Buckman Bridge?
Yeah.
They make you a good deal.
Not good enough, I tell you. The down payment was a little too high. I had to give him my Pontiac.
Well, enough of this buffoonery. Have you got a joke for
me? I got one Polack joke.
Oh, come on, Hoyle. I try to stamp out Polish jokes, Hoyle, because I feel they're offensive to a good segment of our population. I have a distant relative, you know.
Yeah, but a lot of the population out there probably takes it as a compliment.
Well,
the
right.
Polacks.
Come on, Hoyle, have a little compassion.
What does the Polack do before he picks his nose?
Oh, God. Let me see. What? I give up. What does he do?
He says grace.
Oh, Bye. About ready to make for the door. Yeah, me and Dempsey gonna haul off and grab us a couple of beers, I think. We've earned it. It's been a long and brutal day. I've given more than my $3,792.42 worth, I think. I've worked hard. And now I'm gonna grab for all the guests I can. But before I go, somebody sent me in this really neat little motto here. I think I might just frame it, hang it in the office. It kind of is the story of my life. It says here, the object of all dedicated employees should be to thoroughly analyze all situations, anticipate all problems prior to their occurrence, have answers for these problems, and move swiftly to solve.
Things are shaping up, but only time will tell. Why, I've got more oil in my hair than you've got in your well. Hey there, Mr. President, things are really tough. Speaking for the people, I think we've had enough. We're shipping food, but still no crude. I tell you, that's not right. This flower child has gone hog wild. I say it's time to fight. Let's tiptoe to the gas pump. Fill her up. Give me all you've got till I scream I've had enough. Everybody clap your hands and sing in harmony. Come tiptoe to the gas pump with me.
Yeah, man, can I help you, man?
Yes, please. Would you consider taking a ukulele and trade for a gallon of gas?
No, man.
Well, how about you?
I don't think so.
Well, how about one of my brand new 45 RPM records?
Wow, man. What's the name of it?
Come tiptoe to the gas pump. Tiptoe to the gas pump. Come tiptoe to the gas pump.
It is Tiny Tim. Get your hands off me, Tiny. I don't want anything to do. Come on now, settle up. If you're having trouble getting the IRS to help you get your long overdue refund check,